to the UK Gamers Podcast. Well, there's lots of news and bits and pieces going on. Been a while since my last show, so probably loads of stuff I want to talk about that I'm going to totally forget. But there you go. Console games. Managed to pick up Dragon Age. Been playing that to death. Probably going to risk Red Ring of Death. If you haven't got it, look out for it and pick it up instantly. Obviously, if you hate fantasy role-playing console games, then don't bother. In a similar vein, I've also been enjoying Red Dead when I've given my Xbox a rest from Dragon Age. Red Dead Revolution, fantastic kind of spin on the GTA sort of game. Wild West, Mania, fantastic graphics. The sunrises and sunsets, very well realised. Rainstorms in the dark, are very annoying, I have to say. And then you've got, like, wolves and snakes and bandits and all sorts of stuff. Really, really enjoying it. I actually prefer it to GTA. Slightly different feel, but basically it's the same sort of idea. However, as I say, because it's fairly GTA-like, if you absolutely detest GTA, I'm not sure you're going to enjoy Red Dead. You might want to have a go on it, because it is slightly different, but probably not your thing. So lots of good stuff there. I'm also pleased to see they're continuing the kind of retro remix stuff. Monkey Island 2 is now available. I've downloaded the demo. I haven't bought it yet because I'm trying to avoid buying it. I've already got Monkey Island 2 in several versions. It's a bit hard for me to justify yet another, but it is high def and, you know, potential for surround sound and all that good stuff. So I might cave. However, having said that, I really applaud the effort they're putting in, and I hope they work on the other LucasArts games, because, you know, Day of the Tentacle, Sam & Max, Fate of Atlantis, just amazing, and I have to stop talking about them, because I absolutely love them, and it's a game genre I really wish would come back, because I really, really enjoyed them, and, yeah, maybe they're a little bit simple for today's 3D maniacs, but really good game. If you haven't played them, you can always see a bit of what they're like. There's the Scum VM system with the free downloads for Beyond the Steel Sky and the other one whose name escapes me right now. I believe I talked about that in my retro session, so you might want to go back and listen to that again. On the board game stuff, loads of good stuff. Command & Colors Ancients has proved to be very popular down at my club, in particular the newish Epic 2 version, where you get a new command deck and several boards. Been playing a lot of that. Wings of War continues to be very popular. Some great little developments there. The Big Bomber set's coming along nicely. I've seen the balloon and the playmats, and I'd love to pick them up, but a little bit pricey for me right now. And the logos on that playmat still annoy me, I have to say. Battle Lore, getting some good support now from Fantasy Flight Games, good to see. In fact, Fantasy Flight Games producing lots of good stuff, of course, at the moment. And there is a spin-off from Battle Lore, Battles of Westeros, I think it's pronounced. Looks very interesting. I might cast my eye over that. I'm not so keen on Battle Lore as part of the Command & Colors series. So I'd like to have a look, but I'm not going to buy it. I'd like to have a go with it, and maybe that would gel with me a bit better. Magic, going well still by the looks of it. I used to love Magic. I used to go to tournaments all the time. Really, really enjoyed it. In many ways, I do miss some of that side. I don't miss having to buy the cards, I have to say. But the August month sees the arrival of the core set 2011, and I think the tournament's on the 14th. So if you're into Magic, you probably know about it already, but get yourself down to a tournament. If you want to get into Magic, maybe a good time to jump on board, because a little bit of a reset occurs when a new core set comes out. But it's a very technical, interesting, tactical little game. I do miss the play. I've still got a couple of tournament decks to play, and probably take that down the club sometime when we don't have much table space and we want a quick game or something. On the role-playing side of stuff, I've lost touch a bit because my play group's had a little bit of a disaster. A couple of players are still around, but more into the board gamey stuff at the moment. And a couple of other players have kind of disappeared off or are not coming along anymore. So probably get about three, and if I'm lucky, four people together. So I might try and get something going on again there, particularly as we're like halfway through a Call of Cthulhu campaign at the moment, so it'd be a shame to put that on the shelf permanently. Now, talking of Call of Cthulhu, Dark Cults and Monoliths have been coming out from Chaosium. Looks good. And Misatonic Press, More Adventures of Arkham. Looking very good. And obviously, talking Cthulhu, there's also Trail of Cthulhu. And if you want all your Cthulhu goodness, check out Yogg-Sogoth. Now, Trail of Cthulhu is part of the Gumshoe system. And lots of really good stuff going on there. Pelgrane seems to be supporting most of the systems pretty well. Trail of Cthulhu, being the bestseller, obviously getting a lot of love. And you may remember on episode 4, I think it was, me talking about another game engine they had, Dying Earth. Now, the license for that expired and they had a massive sell-off. And there's a rumour he might pick up the license again because the sell-off had been so popular. Well, he's continued to work on this spin-off games using the Dying Earth engine, and they're kind of going well and coming out. But great news, he has confirmed that he has, in fact, renewed the license for Dying Earth. So Dying Earth is going to come back. Great news. I had actually put Dying Earth to one side and thinking, well, maybe I'll sell it off. But, you know, if it's coming back, I might hold fire on that. And really looking forward to seeing that. And he's also managed to pick up a couple of other licenses for Jack Vance. So all sorts of good stuff going on that front. I'd love to give you some news about Cubicle 7's Lord of the Ring role-playing game, which was announced, I think it might have even been announced in January. Unfortunately, still no developments. The only fresh bit of news I've really seen is that there is definitely development going on, and there's a playtest with non-disclosure agreements in place, and that's about all I know about it. I'm hoping it doesn't follow the film of The Hobbit, which should have been released this year, I believe. So let's wait and see. Let's hope both of those products do go along nicely and do appear at some stage. I've got a feeling the role-playing game is going to come out before The Hobbit. But the biggest news for me in RPG world is Otherworld and Labyrinth Lord. Now, Otherworld is a load of modern figures designed around the old-school look of the first edition AD&D Monster Manual. And if you haven't seen these figures, they're wonderful. Unfortunately, they are metal. We can't hold that against them, though, because they are very nice metal figures. A couple of the figures are a bit of a pain to assemble, but most of them are pretty easy, and many of them are just one-piece casting, which, in my opinion, metal should be one-piece or very simple to assemble. I pin in and super glue and me don't get along. Now, I've bought far too much of the Otherworld stuff, but I've talked to the guy who runs it, really nice guy. If you buy a load of stuff, he'll probably be able to do you a deal. Very good customer service. I had a couple of problems with a few bits, and he not only dealt with them, but he gave me some stuff as well to compensate and stuff. Very good. I hope he manages to maintain that level of customer service. But he's so good, in fact, that he's actually managed to do a deal with the guys who do Labyrinth Lord. Now, Labyrinth Lord is like a retro remake, respin sort of type of game. It allows you to play kind of the old-fashioned style D&D using, you know, kind of the OGL license. And if you listen to my D&D episode, I probably go on and on about it in there. But what's really good is the box sets that they're working on look like they will actually be launched this month. So Otherworld and Labyrinth Lord, a little box set with an adventure and a load of figures, should be hitting the stores, well, definitely by next month. So that's great news. Obviously, probably the biggest news is Gen Con's going to go on. Starts on the 5th of August and runs through to the 8th of August. So probably be a load of interesting news from there. One bit of kind of all leaked news there is obviously a load of new manufacturers, ranges, and old manufacturers doing deals with new people. And Fantasy Flight Games have announced Dust. And if you want to check one out what Dust is, go to Fantasy Flight Games store and online, and you can download the rule book and a video and read a couple of articles about it. Now, what's interesting about Dust is that is in many ways what AT-43 should have been. There was basically some comics about an alternative World War II where the Nazis discovered some alien technology, and that was going to become After Trauma 43, and it evolved into a sci-fi spin-off instead. But Dust has now gone back to that original concept and has been launched by Fantasy Flight Games. A really, really high-quality pre-painted Super Deluxe Super Limited Edition has been announced, which everyone, of course, wants, until you hear the price. Very, very expensive. There is the more common everyday version coming out. The figures are, I think, pre-painted and pre-assembled, but basically the Americans are green and the Germans are grey. So basically you still need to paint it. It's just basically being base coated. Very interesting. Looks very similar to 8043, which is a game system I really like, but a much more basic setup. I think there's going to be a big announcement about Excelis as well at Gen Con, and Cypher Studios doing deal with Fantasy Flight Games, and a couple of Spanish and Italian firms that you've probably not heard of doing deals and announcements there, and loads of other very exciting stuff. So Gen Con's looking really good. The biggest piece of news I'm going to talk about probably after the break, because I'm going to be talking about GW and some competition for them, basically, and how that maybe shapes my world of gaming.
Quick, shut that door, man.
As if that's going to stop it.
Look, it's not my fault the other sign didn't work.
That's because it's shaped like a star.
No, it's shaped like a tree.
Star!
Tree!
Star! Well, it's too late now. We're the last ones.
What about Lady Hetherington?
She set on fire, then exploded.
And Father O'Leary?
He plucked out his own eyeballs and ate them.
Damn. I wish I'd visited YoggSothoth.com more often.
YoggSothoth.com?
Yes, you know, that Call of Cthulhu website. Jolly useful. It's got forums, news, even interviews with the great, and the undead.
Oh, I do wish you hadn't said that.
Oh, my lord! Stay away from me, you horror! No!
Well, you'll not take me! What? No! Please, no!
Yogg Radio, a Cthulhu podcast from YoggSothoth.com.
Well, welcome back. I guess slightly old news now, but some of the biggest news in recent history has been GW and where it's going right and where it's going wrong, and its price increase. The price increased created a bit of a storm on the internet chatter, blog sites and discussion boards and YouTube, absolutely festooned with people talking about it and analysing it and whining about it and so on. Now, obviously, as a business, you've got to make money, you've got to make a profit, you've got to make sure you're viable, and GW, quite a while ago, was in quite deep trouble by the sounds of it. Seems to have all sorted itself out now. But part of the way it's done that is to restructure and change things, and some of that has not gone down well with the community, and the price increase in particular has really upset people. Not only did they slowly increase the price and change the contents of the boxes, but they did a massive price hike, which I'm sure you all know about by now if you're into the gaming. Now, I think GW needs to look out. I remember GW when it wasn't even GW, it was Citadel, and it's done a lot for the hobby, and I got a lot of time for GW. I do like to bash it, I must admit, quite enjoy it, but, you know, at the end of the day, we've got to remember where the game industry was. They've done a lot of good for the game industry, raising standards, raising awareness, raising acceptability, bringing out rules which were much better than what was before, and over time they've made some changes I agree with and some changes I don't. But I think the recent Warhammer Fantasy and recent 40K have gone a long way to correcting a lot of the problems I had with some of the other changes they made in the past. I must admit I was more of a 40K player way back when it was like second edition, and I haven't really played much Warhammer Fantasy since probably about second edition as well of that. Most of my Warhammer play has been with like Warhammer Ancient Battles or with the specialist games. Now, GW does turn out very high quality products, and they do turn up wonderful figures, and so I've been buying the figures. I've got quite a lot of Dark Angels and some Chaos Space Marines. I also have some Orcs, but they're actually going to get sold off, and I've got a bucket load of Lord of the Rings stuff. I quite like the Lord of the Rings game engine, and as I say, GW really good production values and are capable of producing great rules. I think I've mentioned it before, but big fan of Epic Armageddon. I also really like Space Hulk as well. But GW sometimes do just drive you to distraction. They bring out really good stuff like Battle of the Five Armies, which was a War Master variant. They bring out Space Hulk. They bring out Epic Armageddon. Lots of hype for maybe a month, or maybe longer if you're lucky. And then the product's dumped and shelved, and you think, why did you spend all that effort doing all that if you were going to do that? Epic, I can see maybe, you know, bring it out, make it a free PDF, make the figures sort of available. But I can see maybe from their point of view, there was too many second-hand figures out there. But that's partly their own fault, because they dropped support for Space Marine for so long that, and it was a very popular system, but it kind of intruded, I guess, a bit into the 40k sphere. But Space Hulk, just boggles my mind, that does. Brought it out, very, very popular, discontinued it for years, prices were getting just ridiculous on eBay. They then announced it's coming out again, fantastic news, but it was a very limited production run. And it was also very expensive. My local game store sold out of it instantly. Why? Maybe bring out a limited edition, high value, high production standard edition. But why not then say, but please note, we're going to leave it for 6 months, and then in 6 months' time we'll be launching a cheaper edition. I suppose that might be marketing death, which is why they didn't do it. But I just don't understand. They put all that effort and all that hype into bringing out Space Hulk. It sold like hotcakes. I think it could be a really good game that would sell fairly regularly. I think that they made a mistake there. Maybe they are working on a lower production edition version, and that's going to be an announcement at some stage. But to me, that's just madness. And it sort of fits in with a lot of stuff they do, where sometimes you as a consumer think, why aren't they doing this? Now, obviously, when you look at the numbers and you crunch it and marketing and all that, it does become a little bit more complicated, and it's very easy to sit here and beat on them. But, you know, putting your prices up in a recession, upsetting huge swathes of your customers, is a bad move. Now, in the past, they could probably get away with that because there wasn't really any serious competition to GW. They've been number one for a long time, and they were way, way out in front. You know, on a scale of 10, if they were an 11, everyone else was like a 2 or a 3. Times have changed, though. There's lots of figures out there that are better. There's lots of figures out there that are cheaper. And there's a lot of figures that are sort of a blend of the two. There's also rules now coming out which are just as good or better and just as well produced. And they've got to watch out for themselves. I mean, there's Flames of War, a historical rule set, very popular, very well produced, very well supported, big threat. Privateer Press are a big threat. All these new skirmishy games, big threat. Cheap to get into, very nicely written rules. And, of course, in these days of the internet, people are getting to hear about them, see them. You've got YouTube, you've got Beasts of War, you've got blog sites. You've got all sorts of ways of finding about these products. And, of course, you've got online retailers. Now, GW managed to kill off quite a few local game stores, sadly, which, of course, is the old way of finding out about that stuff. But a game store wouldn't take the risk on buying in, let's say, Anima Tactics, if they didn't know it was going to sell, potentially. Whereas an internet store, they can do it, because they might not even have the stock. It's you order it, you place the order with them, they order it from their supplier, it ships direct to you. So GW is now finding itself in a kind of a new paradigm, and it's not necessarily set up for this new internet age. The other problem is it's working with rules which fundamentally are the same as the second edition. They have been tweaked up and down, but you know they are being a bit hamstringed by some of the old ways of going on. Now, I'm noticing a lot of the games I like don't tend to be the you go, I go games. It's I move a unit, you move a unit. Now, I do still play the odd game where it's my turn, your turn, but they tend to have some form of interaction when you're doing that. And they definitely are the sort of games I'm much more interested in these days. The bucket full of dice thing, when you're only playing with 20 figures, it's not so bad. When you're playing with a unit of 20 figures and you've got 20 units, it gets a bit boring, to be honest. And then I've never really been a big fan of that I roll to hit, I roll to penetrate, you save. To me, that seems silly. I can understand I roll to hit, I roll to save, but to have three rolls drives you nuts. And then, of course, you've got a fourth roll for your invulnerable save and your re-rolls. And so there's all sorts of problems. And as I say, they have gone a long way to trying to correct some of those problems because they were getting a bit out of hand. And I say GW here has got a problem that their business model maybe needs looking at. The rules, I think, need looking at. They also need to look at the community and see what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong. I think most people would agree they turn out very high quality figures, nice and easy to assemble. Obviously for some people there's too many options. I must admit I was quite dumbfounded when I opened up the Deathwing box set they brought out. So many options in there, it's almost intimidating. But what a great way to build whatever you want, and with magnetization you can actually, yeah, you might spend a little bit more on one figure, but you can maybe build it into three or four different options if you build it with magnetising and so forth. So lots of great stuff going on with GW, but lots of things going wrong. The biggest problem, of course, is price. And that's something they might struggle to correct, but I think they must have scope. I know a lot of shops get pretty good markup on the products, so one option might be to reduce the profit margin to the shops, but of course then you upset your third party shops, who will then stop providing your stuff and give it to other people. So it's not as easy as some people would say, but at the end of the day, in a recession, you need your products to be cheaper than they are, particularly when there's competition. Now, some of the big threats on the horizon, Fire and Fury, skirmish games, lots of stuff. Picked up some bolt action miniature World War II 28mm figures, and they're now going into plastic as well, so hopefully the prices there won't be too bad. Infinity, fairly expensive to buy, but you know, if you pick them up at shows, you often get really good deals. And at the end of the day, if you've got 20 figures, you've got loads of figures. So, you know, even at £4 each, it doesn't work out too bad. Some of the bigger figures, officially, I think, are like £25. So definitely try and pick up a show deal. I think I got about £100 to £150 worth of figures for about £60 with a free rule book. So from my point of view, I got a really good deal. Animatactics, very nice looking figures, not necessarily PC, just to warn you, some of them, but you know, that manga-esque stuff, and from what I hear, you don't need more than six figures a side, so I think the figures run anything from £5 to £20 each, and obviously the £20 ones are very big or very complex figures. You can get a nice little starter set of two figures with the rules for about £12-ish, and the rules are a free download on the internet, which is another trend GW might want to keep an eye on. You've then got some of the more kind of mass battle skirmishy sort of games. For example, AT-43, I think, could be a big threat. Luckily for GW, Rackham have managed to upset a lot of people and have all sorts of problems with both finances and distribution, which has made it not the big threat it could have been. But I really felt AT-43 could really clean the house up with GW. Very nice sculpts, came pre-painted, so you just buy the box and you're ready to play. Unfortunately, that's a bit of a double-edged sword for them, because hobby side of things is quite popular. So I think they could have made it a bit easier for you to do customization and repaints and sold that side a bit stronger. Not helped by the fact they basically dropped their Legend line, which enabled you to buy resin figures and sell them. And, of course, dropping the Confrontation metal range really upset people. But, you know, 8043, really good solid set of rules, a couple of bits need tweaking in it. No rule sets are perfect. One side of the problem there is the terrain rules could have been done with being a bit more thoroughly worked up, and the indirect fire rules are a bit of a problem. Probably the biggest problem with the rules is the point balances on some of the units could do with a tweak. Now, luckily, AT-43 is exactly having that. Version 2 of the rules are going to be launched. So, version 1 of the rules are all available free off Rackham's website, so you can get all the AT-43 stuff plus the army books off there. I think Operation Frostbite's about the only thing you can't actually download. You actually have to go out and buy that still. Confrontation, which I believe Age of Ragnarok is about version 4 of the rules, that's also all available free. Now, unfortunately, by the time you listen to this, it would already be too late for you to take part in the 70% discount sale that Rackham was having. At 70% discount, I'm all over AT-43. Really, really good value at that price. Unfortunately, the prices have gone back up, and that's one of the problems they have. It actually makes them feel a bit more expensive than GW even, and that's going to give them a hard time. Now, I believe they are looking at that. Sounds like as part of the version 2 rule refresh, they're going to basically, well, I'm not sure, but I get a feeling they're going to dump all the current kind of product packaging and go with an army box and then supplement box to support that army box, which will make it easier for them to get supplies, easier for them to supply the sellers with, and everyone will win in the long term. That's what I feel, but I don't know that for a fact. It'd be interesting to see how that shakes out. But if they can churn out stuff at the same quality, cheaper, they'd be doing absolutely fantastically well, in my opinion, as long as they can win back a lot of people they've upset. But check out AT-43. It's really good, solid rule set with a couple of little problem areas, which you can easily house rule. You can even steal some of the terrain rules from the GW products, for example, to easily fix that. In a kind of skirmish to big battle range, you've also got the Privateer Press stuff. Very, very interesting. Now, unfortunately for me, I didn't like War Machine because it involved very large, very heavy metal figures, which if you're into that sort of thing, great, but you probably gather by now, pinning metal figures just makes me go cold. I'm prepared to do it. I know how to do it. I just don't enjoy doing it. Trying to drill into a big lump of metal is a pain. But they have started going plastic, and they've gone for a very high-quality hard resin plastic, which, by the sounds of it, does still require super glue. But obviously it's easier to drill than your metal stuff, and because it's lighter, it's easier to magnetise. And that's particularly good because for the big war machines, the heavy jacks, you can magnetise them, and you get a 3-in-1 kit, so you get 3 mechs for the price of 1. And the battle boxes also represent good value. You get what's known as a caster, couple of light jacks and maybe a heavy jack, or depending on the army the mix might be slightly different, and I think it works out about 11 points a side, and with a couple of little extras you get up to a 15 point army, and there you've got a nice little tight skirmishy sort of game. But you can expand it out to a bigger force. Unfortunately, most of the range is still currently metal and therefore is expensive. Some of the plastic stuff they've launched, for example, for Menoth, looks much better in my opinion. Unfortunately, that is quite expensive as well. For example, the Exemplar Bastions looks quite pricey. I think it can work out as much as £5 a figure. But they are very high quality, and you don't have to have them. Unfortunately, if you want to play a lot of tournaments, in the UK, seems like 50-point tournaments are quite popular, which is a very big battle and could be very expensive. And so War Machines is definitely on my horizon. I'm probably going to pick up some bits for that, but I might not go into it in a big way because I am concerned about costs to have big, viable forces, and also the thought of assembling metal does rather put me off. But I just love the figures, and without even knowing anything about the rules, Krix and the Protectorate of Menoth are my favourite factions. And then the alternative rule set, Hordes, the Trollbloods and Scorn, look pretty good to me. But you'll probably find amongst all that range quite a lot of stuff. Now, why am I going on about that? Well, it did get known as Infantry Machine, because although it was all allegedly about a caster and his mechanical slaves, the mechs, or jacks, I should call them, it became a ridiculous situation where you pretty much just had infantry on the table, and that's because of the way the game had evolved over the various rule books and splat books that came out. Well, they've relaunched it as Mark II and done the same with Hordes. I think Hordes is actually now available. I think it's actually hit the shops, along with a couple of new units for Mark II for both Hordes and War Machine. So now's a good time to get back involved, maybe. They've also radically changed the point system. I just mentioned earlier that it was about 11 to 12 points for a battle box. Well, in the past, it was much more expensive, and, you know, a big army was maybe 1,000 points plus, and, you know, a typical battle would have been 750 points. Now, I think they're more aiming it that, you know, starter box is about 11 points, and a typical battle is about 25, and a big battle is 35. And if you want to, I think you can go all the way up to about 200 points, which would be in a massive force of probably two or even three casters. And that would be a very expensive game to get involved in. So, with all this stuff going on, it's really made me sit down and think about what do I want to do. And I've got far too many figures. I've got some Napoleonic stuff, so I'm probably going to sell that off. I've got loads and loads of World War II stuff, so I'm going to look at that and rationalise that. I've got quite a lot of ancient stuff, so I'm going to rationalise that as well. I've got some sci-fi and some fantasy stuff, so I'm going to have to look at rationalising that. And I think on the big battle side stuff, to me, fantasy is where that's at. So I'm probably going to go after Lord of the Rings. I think I've pretty much got all I need, maybe a couple of beasties and stuff. So I'm going to paint all that up, and once I've done that, I'll then buy some more. But I quite like the look of some of the new Warhammer Fantasy rules stuff. Maybe tempt me back, but problem is, very, very expensive. And this, I think, brings us to the main crux of the matter. GW has really got some strong competition now in the form of Mantic. Now, Mantic seems to be a lot of kind of ex-GW people. Alessio, who helped rewrite a lot of the problems of Warhammer and 40K out with his newest version of that, is the guy they've managed to get on board. Bob Naismith is a sculptor, and a couple of other guys. And they're good fun, lots of amusing blog entries, and their price announcement was quite amusing. You know, we regret to inform you there will be no price increases. The how are we going to find a good game designer and stuff like that. Very good fun. Definitely go have a look them out. And Bob Naismith singing the Dwarven War song is quite amusing as well. Now, when they launched the elves, some of the elf sculpts I really liked, some I wasn't so keen on. Very, very interested in packaging arrangement and design ethic. Great. The undead range, very impressive, and the recent zombies and ghouls, very, very, very impressive. The dwarves, not 100% sure about the dwarves. I think I like them. I definitely prefer them to the GW dwarves. Not sure if I prefer them to the Lord of the Rings dwarves, but dwarves I quite like, but have never been high on my list of I must buy them. So, really strong competition from a figures point of view. Simple to assemble and very good value. 20 figures for about £12. Very, very good indeed. In today's market, anyway. There are cheaper manufacturers out there. In fact, my other favourite manufacturers of figures are Perry Miniatures, and they represent in their plastic range very, very good value for very good quality sculpts. Unfortunately, they don't really do many fantasy ranges apart from Lord of the Rings, which is obviously a GW product. So Mantic, very strong threat there. In fact, a lot of people were buying the Mantic stuff to play Warhammer Fantasy Battle, because much, much better value, allows you to fill big units. That did give you a problem with tournament play, because obviously GW quite rightly don't want you using too many non-GW products, but possibly a bit too strongly anti that, much to their detriment. And the problem there, as I say, people are like, well, why should I buy Mantic? I can't go to tournaments and stuff. Well, Mantic's going to solve that. It sounds like they are going to encourage tournament play, and they're going to do that by bringing out the Kings of War rule set, and hence why they got Alicia on board. Now, the announcement for that was done in a very interesting way. They actually tied up with Beast of War, lots of very interesting little teaser snippets, and best of all, a public beta. what a great way to try and fine-tune your rules. Obviously, they also got quite a lot of feedback about some of their initial impressions of what to do. I must admit, when I first watched the video, I was thinking, I don't like the sound of that, I don't like the sound of that. With a few more hours between me and when it was announced and thinking about it, some of the things don't jar quite as much as they did when I first heard them. I am a bit concerned he is talking about you have a turn, I have a turn. But if it's worked correctly, I'm prepared to forgive him for that. Sounds like the gameplay is going to be very quick. And if that's the case, I think they're going to look good. And the rules have been designed for mass battles from the start. And so it's good for the company because they get to sell you lots of figures. It's good for us because the figures are fairly cheap to buy. And it also means it looks impressive on the table. And yet we can still have a game, hopefully within 2 to 3 hours, and get a result. So everyone's a winner. Now, how are they going to do this? Well, they got a very aggressive timescale. For Christmas, you should be able to buy... Well, way before Christmas, in fact. You should be able to buy yourself a nice box set with, I think it's about 40 dwarves, 60 skeletons, ghouls, zombies, and a couple of artillery pieces. I think it's a cannon for the dwarves and a catapult for the skeletons. Rules, dice. Wow, you think could be quite expensive. £40. What a brilliant move. They could have potentially done it cheaper, but I'm sure if they suggested that to the guys in the accounting department, they'd probably lynch them, because they probably aren't making much money, and wouldn't even be surprised if it's a little bit of a loss leader at that sort of price. Very, very, very good deal, particularly when you compare it to the new Warhammer box set. Don't get me wrong, I think the Warhammer box set does represent good value, but is obviously more expensive, and you know that that's just the first part of your expense. 100 figures for a lot of people, they might not even need to expand the game beyond that, but obviously the idea is they want you to do that. The games have also been designed around the box set, so units of 10, 20, 30, 40. So you can buy one box or two box or three box, or they also do like horde box sets where you get 50 figures at a time. Very, very good. They are launching an undead-only army box set, and I assume a dwarf and elf one will follow up. They've also got some nice metal figures. I really, really would want to get the wraiths and the cavalry undead figures. They look really good. Lots of good reviews. And as I say, I think they've got a lot of groundswell, a lot of popular support. And of course, their figures, being cheap and easy, are also semi-compatible with Warhammer, so I can actually see, even if people don't like the rule sets, them still doing well as people using them as proxy figures for, like, vampire counts and the high elves and the dwarves and so forth. So, very, very smart move. They look like a really switched-on bunch of guys who have great deals of fun in them, which is very important to maintain. And they also appreciate you need to get the community involved, and I think this is one of the advantages these smaller, less successful game companies or new startups have over GW's. Being a bit smaller, it's much easier for them to engage in the community. GW, obviously, with their shops, have a great advantage there, but you know, that's something Mantic have expressed they're not wanting to do. They're wanting to help support the online retailers and the local friendly game store. So I wish them all the best. Very exciting company to hear about and look at their stuff. Love to have a good word with them. I believe they're off at Gen Con, and there might be some new announcements about what's almost certain to be the fourth race, which is orcs. There is an orc head on some of the sprues, and there has been a 3-up preview at the odd show, so I'd imagine they're next. I'm not sure what they're going to do about humans. They might do, or they might decide to let you use other people's figures, because that's one thing I do like about Mantic. It sounds like they realise that saying our figures and our figures only, whilst it's great from one point of view, it can give you problems. I think they might even be trying to announce a tie-up deal with some other manufacturers. It's definitely going to be keeping a very close eye on Mantic. I've ordered a couple of their products to try them out, not a huge amount. Want to see if I'm, you know, in the flesh as impressed by them as I am by the pictures. And I could see a lot of my money that I'm going to get from selling off stuff and rationalising and not buying stuff I was going to buy being poured in their direction. So for me, with a lot of what's been going on with GW, I've been getting less and less interested in them over the years. I can see me going into like the small tactical games where I don't need too many figures. I can just take one box file of figures along to club night, have a game, or big mass battle in the form of, you know, the Mantic stuff. Gonna keep hold of my Dark Angels though, because I do like 40k, and I really like the look of the Fantasy Flight game role playing stuff as well, which I'm pleased to see that some of the guys down at the Wargaming Club have shown an interest in, because what I've noticed is a lot of the youngsters, I say youngsters, they're kind of 18, they were rabid fanboys of GW, but since about Christmas they've started playing spin-off games like Gorka Mord, role-playing games, other games. There is definitely a slight wane in the interest. Obviously they are still interested in it, but they're no longer fanboys. Mantic has been mentioned to them and they sound interested, so I believe Mantic have some very good club support, so I think I might be dropping them a message saying, what can you do to help our club? And these are, I think, the realities of the modern world, particularly with this recession going on. I think you've got to reduce your overheads, reduce your costs, and support as much as possible the internet sellers, the local game stores that are struggling, and the clubs and communities that are basically your customers. Anyway, I think that's enough of me ranting on about things. Hopefully that's given you sort of an idea of maybe stuff you're not aware of, or my opinion on stuff that you're well aware of. Anyway, with Gen Con coming up, might be I get another show out fairly quickly. And then, as I said, for my Christmas show, I'm going to have a think about the format of the show, and possibly even the survival of the show. We'll have to wait and see. If you want to give me feedback or encourage me to keep going, or give me suggestions about how I should keep going, go over to Board Game Geek. There is a guild on there. Look up UK Gamer Podcast. Hopefully you should find it. And you can give me feedback. Anyway, catch you later.